South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail, a sitting president sleeping on cash, literally, a cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail, or even the post office operating even when they have nothing to do?
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. South Africa today finds itself fighting a phantom enemy called value-added tax, VAT for short. In less than 2 months, we have moved from a possibility of the government imposing a 2% hike on VAT to then revising the increase to 0.5% and then to withdrawing it totally, with a little help from the courts. Who would have thought? On the one hand, the Party of Liberation, the ANC, pressed for a VAT increase, which many argue would harm the poor more. And on the other hand, the DA, the party that is regarded as mainly interested in the middle and upper classes, fought against VAT in favor of the poor. It is May 1 today, which, by the way, happens to be my birthday. And we still do not have a budget 1 month later than it happens traditionally. So shocked by this turn of events that the grilled chicken leader, Nandos, asked a pertinent question. Wat gaan we? No one has answered this question. Instead, the drama moved from being a small skit to a production of Lion King proportions. It started with the South African Revenue Service telling government that a VAT increase was not going to solve our problems. What we need is better revenue collection, SARS said. This left Godongwana very unhappy, and he and cabinet colleague Kumbuzo Njaweni started inquiring about the end of contract of Edward Kizwita, the SARS commissioner.
I said, we're discussing, even here, he comes up with this rubbish. I said, how will it help me on the 19th, even now on the 12th? Yes. He did not know that we have made provision for him for 3.5 in the new arrangement. Yeah. But that 3.5 now is gone.
Yes, no, all right, we'll finally keep it.
Since the budget was finally passed in March, Godongwana, with the help of a festival of smaller parties in parliament, announced a 0.5% VAT hike, which he argued was necessary for government to fund its commitments. Not so, argue other parties, including the Democratic Alliance, the ANC's first wife in the polygamous government of national unity. And in a strange turn of events, the Blues found themselves in bed with the Reds of the economic freedom fighters opposing the VAT increase. They even took it to court, and they won. The Western Cape High Court instructed Godongwana to fat omdrech and take the process back to parliament. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Everyone is now asking, uhamba nini uGodongwana? Ever since the court ruling, it has gone comical. Every Tom, Dick and Helen has claimed victory for the VAT reversal. Predictably, the DA and the EFF believe their court challenge is what got us here. Not so, argue Musi Maimane, Herman Mashaba and Songhe Zozibi of Build SA, Action SA and Rise Mzansi respectively. The new kids on the blog argue that it was thanks to their engagement with the ANC that Godongwana saw the light of day. Never is not, say Jacob Zuma's MK party. the new official opposition, whose members sparsely took to the streets in the past few days protesting the VAT increase, said that it was their threat to bring this country to a standstill if the VAT increase was passed that turned things around. I thought that is all that was ridiculous until the ANC released a statement that it also was opposed to the VAT increase. I kid you not. You cannot script such stuff. ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula told the media that his party was opposed to VAT, which begs the question, on whose mandate did Godongwana pen the increase into his budget?
I plead guilty. I woke up one day and said, no. Everybody has been attacking me about austerity. I said, I'm sick and tired of being attacked for austerity. This time I'm going to raise tax. Then I called Dangan and the team. I said, put 2% VAT. Are you sure, Minister? I said, yes.
Well, there you have it. Enoch Godongwana is the boss of the budget. Or so he thought. If we wait a day longer, I wouldn't be shocked if Sean Mkhize also joins the chorus and takes the credit for forcing the reversal of this increase. So I thought I should solve this conundrum for all of us and call on a friend. Duma Qobule is an advisor in economic development and transformation, and today he's going to give us, yes, you've guessed it right, an idiot's guide to the budget and VAT. Voila, Duma.
Okay, Rams, you know, thank you very much for inviting me. And in these things, you know, it's better to meet face to face. And, you know, I think it's much better, but...
I know, but circumstances are circumstances, and I'll have you anyway, anytime. Your input is always important.
Oh, thank you so much, Rams. You know, and as I was saying, what I'm saying is that, you know, I've been an observer of South African economy for a long time, but this economist thing, you know, you've known me long enough, and it's not the hat that I've always worn.
Yeah.
And I think if I remember well, you arrived at the newsroom just after I had left, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember I was talking to Sumi, she lives not far from me, you know. And I was saying, you know, independent news was, you know, how can I put it? It was the best, one of the best places.
It was the bastion of journalism.
Yes, that's yeah. It. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, in different forms, I've been observing this economy in different forms. And sometimes, you know, when I was, yeah. But anyway, so what I want to say is that people, I was talking to Kumani Chimomolo, from the EFF. And I was saying that, you know, people are going to be writing about this, having podcasts about this, doing academic papers about this, for many years to come. This is a pivotal moment in our country's history. And I don't pretend to know how we're going to tell this history, but I can tell you from where I sit. I didn't see it coming. I think most of us didn't see it coming. But what we have seen happening is that this is an organization, National Treasury, that had become too powerful and over time too arrogant. Now, on February 19th, was it February, the first budget in February?
Yeah.
The truth starts coming out. Uguti, no, this is how Treasury rolls. On the day of the budget, they rock up in Parliament and they haven't told anyone in the ANC, in their own party, let alone me and you and the rest of the country, what is going to be on the budget. This is how they roll. And then we have a farce of a process throughout Parliament where everybody rubber stamps this budget without engaging it, you know. Mm. And there's a chance towards engaging it. But the arrogance, I couldn't understand. So now they now arrive in Parliament as usual, and they're about to tell people. And the president is late, by the way, I subsequently find out, for whatever reason. And this thing can't happen the way it usually happens. And they think things are going to be normal. Now, even if there are 9 other parties in this government of neoliberal unity of theirs, and they think it will be normal, we're just going to happen like it happens. So it is quite obvious, you know. So that's number one. Number two, this institution called Treasury become too powerful. I'll just give a couple of examples. Is that they're more powerful than the president. in the sense that, you know, the president announces in September 2018, he announces a 400 billion rand infrastructure fund after we go into the into a recession that year. And then, you know, I obviously know it's not going to happen because I know how Treasury rolls. Yeah. And anyway, February 2019, Treasury says, no, this infrastructure fund is 100 billion. And then 6 years later, in this budget that didn't happen, they haven't allocated a cent to this infrastructure fund. That's number one. Number two, April 2020, in the wake of COVID, the president announces a 500 billion rand stimulus package. And this stimulus doesn't happen. And I can explain what it says. So there's two, something can happen below the budget line or above the budget line. So all the spending on this stimulus package happens below the budget line, not part of government revenue. So it happens from the unemployment insurance fund surplus. I'll come back to that. It's very important. They spent 60 billion rands from the surplus of the unemployment insurance fund. They didn't tax any money. They didn't borrow any money. They spent 60 billion rands to pay people, 14 million people who were temporarily unemployed. And then there was the banks in terms of this bank, you know, the COVID, the loan, the 200 billion rand loan guarantee fund. They spent only 20 billion rands from that. But Treasury, if you look back now since that moment, you know, per capita non-interest spending declined by 16%. So over since that moment in 2020. So so nothing happened, you know. And then lately, then you see that these officials are more powerful than the ministers, you know, their own finance ministers.
Why are they more powerful than the ministers? It doesn't make sense to me. They're a department.
No. That's the whole point. There's a process, a farcical process through parliament. This thing gets rubber stamped. And then these treasury officials, now I'll give an example. Malusi Kigaba, 2018, he's a RET minister. And before long, he is singing from the same hymn sheet of structural reforms and austerity that these people are talking about, you know. So no matter who is the minister, they become like almost puppets of the officials. Now, we are hearing stories right now that there's a big bust up between the finance minister and his officials. And at first, when I heard it, I thought, no, that's a lame excuse for Mr. Gordon Wanner because he's the political head. Mm. But now we're hearing that the head of the budget office has taken leave for 6 months and there are rumors, because nothing is transparent, that the minister is having bust up with his officials, you know, because he has said certain things that, you know, the Treasury doesn't agree with. He has said that I was in a meeting with him and he said, I don't believe in these fiscal rules. And then he says to me, no, then he says to us at Luthuli House that, no, we have a GDP growth problem, not a debt crisis, you know, and certain things. So maybe so we don't know what's happening there. So they're arrogant. And then number three, when I rams the last thing, is that they're incompetent, you know. And, you know, back in the day, there were these people at National Treasury. They had the gravitas, you know, to almost like, you know, the standing in society to be able to convince other MPs about what needs to be done for the country. But now that those people are no longer there, and the isitunzi of these people has diminished substantially. You know, they don't have the gravitas in society to pull the society with them, as was the case. So, you know, like, so I, yeah, so, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know how to say. So it's a mess when I rams. And then I haven't even talked about what the mess that has happened since January. So what happens in January, in 23rd of January, there's a court decision against them, a scathing court decision that says, no, the way you've gone about, you know, this social relief of distress grant was introduced in May 2020 in relation to COVID, but Treasury has introduced these bureaucratic hurdles that prevent more than 10 million people from accessing this grant. And it was a scathing judgment. So currently about 8 million people get this grant and it appears that 18 million should be getting this grant. So they're saying, no, it should have been increased in line with inflation, and you know, you must allow people to get it and get rid of these nonsensical bureaucratic administrative hurdles that prevent people from getting it. So if that happens, The spending of this grant will be about 100 billion as opposed to 35 billion. So it's about almost 65, 70 billion rands more. And then you have the court judgment at the Western Cape High Court, you know, the VAT increase. So it was humiliation upon humiliation since the start of the year. And in one of my groups now, I've been asking people, you know, at what point does the ANC, Fikile Mbalula, say, this is enough, this comedy show must stop? Because there's different twists and turns, but at the end of the day, it's just a comedy show. They are humiliated at every step of the way.
I'm not sure that it would be less comical if a Fikile came in, because he now comes out to say, oh, by the way, we as the ANC don't agree with VAT. So whose budget?
Yes, but what have they done if they don't agree with VAT? Yeah. No, I know. But someone, there have to be adults in the room, whether it's Fikile or the president. And they must say, this comedy show must stop. And I'm beginning to think, what will the solutions look like? And there's a press conference about to happen at 12, you know. But there is a solution. So I think that the ANC hasn't understood that they're not in power anymore. And they must be give and take with other parties to come up with a solution to this economic crisis here.
Now, that part, by the way, is also a bit of irony for me that, well, we know they're not in power anymore. They're in bed with other people. Now a DA comes out to say no to VAT in favor of the poor. I get a shock in my system. Like, who's speaking for the poor here? Shouldn't that be the ANC? What's happening?
Yes, Rebs. Now that's the party. You know, this is messing up with everybody's minds.
Yeah.
But the party that is, you know, our Liberation Party, we all grew up in it. They're not speaking for the poor. They didn't rein in their own minister and say, no, we can't have a VAT increase. It's the DA and now the EFF who are speaking on behalf of the poor. We don't fully understand the importance of it, but just from an economic policy point of view, these are just different ways of implementing austerity. You can do austerity through regressive tax increases or through expenditure cuts. So the DA is saying, no, we want to have spending cuts and we don't want the tax increases for ideological reasons. You know, they don't believe in taxes generally, whether it's VAT or anything else. And they believe that maybe we should have what they call a spending review and look at ways of cutting spending. To grow the economy.
Ironically, I mean, I would say to them, then maybe we start by cutting the size of cabinet and deputy ministers, you know, which accommodated them in that space, right? But let's not go there.
Yes, because now we're going to increase the government to accommodate different interests in this the new government of neoliberal unity. And so, it's a mess. Yeah, it's a complete mess. And the last thing I want to say, Rams, is that this Treasury is incompetent because over the past 16 years, our GDP has grown by 1.1% a year. But if you look at other emerging and developing economies, they've cruised to 4.4% without 155 countries without much effort. And emerging and developing Asia, 6.3%. Now, in the last 2 years, 2023, 2024, we have GDP growth of less than 1%. And this year, we're going to have GDP growth of less than 1%, you know, after the Trump shock to the world economy. And by the end of 2025, GDP per capita per person will be lower than it was 17, 18 years ago. Now, the primary objective of economic policy is to grow the economy and create jobs. And if you're not growing the economy and creating jobs, if SA Inc. was a company, you know, the shareholders would have booted them out, the Treasury and the Reserve Bank. So as South Africans, we're not talking about that. It seems to be okay that year after year, our average living standards are going down. You know, I've been talking to some friends when I Rams, they're battling to sell their houses in this market. And I've listened to, you know, estate agents, Jersey property market for the past 15 years. Now, I think it's declined by about 10%, whatever the number is. You know, I'm not following it. And things are really bad for South Africans. And if the Treasury and the Central Bank are not responding to this, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, like, who is responsible? Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about VET, because that's how we got ourselves here. I mean, you know, yes. 2 months of a circus. Do we need a VET increase?
Okay, so the first time, February budget, they want to collect 180 billion rands.
Yeah.
And then obviously they say, then they come back, the second budget, they say 0.5, 0.5. So now let's look at the numbers, okay, in terms of the March budget, you know. So the March budget says we're going to collect 75 billion rands, but you have to offset that against the cost of zero rating certain items. So that's about 2.2 billion rands, 2 billion rands a year over the medium term expenditure. So now if you net that, it's 68.6 billion rands. So it's about 69 billion rands that they want to take in. So now if you look at the March budget, basically they've said we want to increase spending by 393 billion rands. And then the 69 billion rand that they're going to take back, it's an arbitrary number, Rams. There's no scientific basis to it. They could have, if they didn't have VAT, and they, you know, the sky wouldn't have fallen if they hadn't collected this money, even they hadn't said we're going to take the money back. So it was just a decision that they made, I don't know, to save face or whatever.
Save what face? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Like, no, what I'm trying to say is that let's say there was no VAT and we're going to increase spending by 393 billion rands, then that is what it is. So you didn't have to have the 69 billion rand coming back, because when the government spends money, it increases the GDP growth. And when the government takes, so it puts new money into the economy. And then when they tax it, you take it away from the economy. So now let's look at the 69 billion rand. It is 0.9% of government spending over the period, and it will increase the debt by 1 percentage point over the 3 years. So that was an option, you know. So I'm just saying we didn't need to have VAT. There's so many things we could have done. And you know, when a Rams,
but if you don't do that, Duma, how do you fund great things like blue lights? You know, people must have blue lights.
Yes. Okay, so Rams, you know, the way I explain it to people is that, okay, 2024 budget, not long ago, not last, you know, the Treasury, the South African Reserve Bank gives Treasury 150 billion rands to pay the debt, ostensibly from the gold and foreign, I never know how to pronounce this name, gold and foreign currency reserve contingency account, GFRECA. Yeah. Because there's a surplus in that account, you know. So the surplus at the time, Bati, it's 500 billion. But Bati, we're going to give you 150 billion rands, you know, to pay the debt. Now, that's in that 500 billion rand, there were 50 presentations in Parliament. And the people are saying now, why don't we go back to that? So the equivalent, just to explain it to listeners, is like me, I have a cash, you know, a cash crunch. And then I realized that my house is appreciated, you know, and I must go to talk with the bank manager, which is, hey, I need the access bond, you know.
Yes.
So that's a lay way of explaining it. But in that access bond, there's still 300 billion rands. And then I must I must just explain to my children. I'm just saying that the children can't go to school. There's no money, but there's money in your access bond. Do you see what I'm saying? It makes no sense. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So your children will come to Rams one day, say, Kanti Baba, there was this access bond where now you didn't want to pay for my fees at VITS. I saw your son is going to university. And he said, Baba, do you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's money there where it came from. And then that's number one. Number two, as I said to you, the UIF surplus, 2000. So the Reserve Bank can always come to the party. And you know, the gold price has gone up with Trump. So the money in that surplus it's gone through, it's much higher than it was, you know, but I haven't done the calculations. And so kunemali lapana. Number two, in 2016, Niva Makhetla, the economist, she says, no, there's this UIF surplus of 100 billion rand. Why do we need it, you know? And then during COVID, we spent money from that surplus. And then after that, and you look in this budget that's withdrawn, there's 140 billion rand in that kitty, yeah, you have a surplus. So if the surplus wasn't necessary before COVID and it's not necessary now, there's 140 billion rand. So there's 300 billion rand in that other kitty that we're talking about. Yeah. There's 140 billion rand in this UIF surplus. And then in my latest work I was doing for an organization called Youth Capital, I was shocked. The National Skills Fund, they've got a surplus of 13 billion. The CETAs have got surpluses of 17 billion. So we're already talking 170 billion. And in the government, in the budget that's withdrawn, there's 200 billion rand. So even before we talk about tax and we talk about anything else, there are all these unnecessary surpluses. And the last surplus I want to talk about is the Government Employees Pension Fund. Now, you know, Bladen Zimande understood it when I presented to the South African Communist Party. You know, Standard Bank or Arena, your employer, our employer, can go bust. So
yeah.
They must have a fully funded pension fund, you know, or else people may, you know, if they go bust, they must be able to pay everyone. But yeah, there's no scenario where the government, 1.3 million, you know, would have to pay everybody, the doctors, the nurses, the judges, on the same day. Yeah. So these pension funds usually are not fully funded. But Tina, our pension fund, our government employees pension fund is fully funded. So just to explain it, so it's got about 3 trillion rands of assets. So if they had to pay everybody on the same day, there would still be 400 billion rand cash. That makes no sense.
So you've mentioned all these things. So I have to ask again, as a layman, why then are we bickering over a 0.5% increase of VAT?
That's my point, Wena Rams.
Who's looking for this money?
Why are we bickering? Like now what I'm trying to say, this morning I was driving with my son through Josie, and I was thinking to myself, no man, why don't I just sit down and, you know, talk to Mr. Mbalula, Figile, or whoever who can make these decisions? There is a solution. If there were adults in the room, so I'm now beginning to think of solutions when I rams instead of criticizing.
And we're going to get solutions. But, you know, when I knew I was going to talk to you, I even thought, I'm going to go to the issue of debt, right? Because I thought, this is my friend, Duma Gemazga. So I thought, no, this thing of being scared of debt is nonsense. You must take more debt. But we've not mentioned so much reserves that I think we don't even need debt, right?
That's what I'm saying, that we don't even need to go to the debt, you know, like, that's what I've been trying to say. There's so many, I've now lost you when on the thing. Yeah. Oh, there you are. So I was trying to look at, but if you look at this debt ratio of 75%, it's not high by international, you know, standards. And I don't care what anybody says, I can show all the numbers to everybody. Yeah. So there's so many solutions, and I just can't believe at this critical moment in our history, and people are not prepared to think creatively as to what we can do to get out of this this situation. And, you know, at some point, you know, when our Rams were busy with our day-to-day lives, and I was thinking, I must just go to the Tory House. And then I phoned my friend Isabel. I said, Isabel, I don't know people in the DA, you know. I know Eleanor Bosbys, I know a few people, but I don't know Helen. I don't have a number. How do I? And she says, are you calling me because I'm the only white person?
We need to call our white friends. It's important.
Yes, yes. Or even, Mwelle Tsimbeki. He's got he knows everybody across all political parties. And then you begin to understand, you know, when you talk to Mwelle Tsimbeki, this elite here, like Mzansi, they know each other across political parties, and it doesn't matter whether you're in the ANC or any other party. They know each other, you know. Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, the question would be: are we perhaps, you know, acting from a point of saying waste not, want not? You know, must always have something in the kitty in case something goes wrong. Is that what could be informing us for not using all these reserves?
Do you know that there were people in Parliament that came up with solutions, and then Treasury responds, you know, in Parliament, and they came up with the reasons why they can't use these reserves, you know. But I'm just saying that even if we don't use the reserves, even if you go to the bond market, and then let's say we don't use these reserves, even then there's scenarios, you know. So let me give you another scenario. we can still, we don't, the PIC, the government owes the PIC 800 billion rands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the government and the state-owned companies. So now, why can't we borrow from the PIC, you know, on favorable terms? Let me give you an example. The New Development Bank loan, this is the BRICS bank. There's payment holidays, Lapo, until your economy recovers, you know. The same with the IMF loans that we took. So now why can't we go to the PIC? PIC, Sisenkingen, you know, why don't you can we borrow money from you, but not at the market interest rates?
Yeah.
Stella Imad, on favorable terms, maybe asnige a payment holiday, you know, 100 billion, you know, whatever, you know, we need. So you get the idols in the room, Risicha Khanyaho, PIC. Remember, we're not even talking surpluses now, you know? And they say, what can we do to get out of the situation? Because this VAT increase, it's so little, it's so trivial, it makes no difference to anything. Let me just give you why it's so trivial. It's 69 billion rands, but in this budget that was withdrawn, they're going to borrow over the next 3 years 1.6 trillion. So, and then the debt is going to increase to 6.9 trillion. So what difference will be the VAT made? And we haven't even talked about the Trump shock, because the Trump shock to the world economy means that now there's 91 billion rands of exports to the US that are going to be affected, 1.2% of GDP. Have you seen the president talking to BMW in a meeting, an urgent meeting? I mean, let's say the biggest part of the, if you aggregate the 91 billion rands, Iqala with the cars, you know,
yeah,
the autos,
yeah,
then the auto components. So the auto components is where my dad's family comes from in Uitenhage, you know,
Uitenhage.
Yeah. So now, have you seen the president, or I haven't seen Parks even go to, so now there's what you call it, Roslyn. There's the BMW X3s that we export to the US. And then there's the Kanaking, the C-Class from
the Mac,
London. And then there's the component manufacturers. Surely by now, you'd have gone and talked to all of them. Mina, I don't have any skin in the game, you know, but I've already tried to talk to the head of NAMSA, Mikhail Mabasa, and Mina Ngiyatabalaza, trying to talk to people. And I've talked to people who are experts and help me guys understand what can we do. But have you seen the politicians, Abo Cyril Ramaphosa, Abo Parks, talking to find out what can we do for these exports? It's about 33 billion rands of exports. What's going to happen? Are we going to divert it to another market? What can we do? Tell us, you know. Yeah. Number two, there's a huge shock to the economy. The the other one is steel. Steel is in a bad situation.
Steel has been in a bad situation for a long time now.
For a long time. It's got nothing to do with Trump and Consider. Yeah. And then there's also these Trump, the what you call it, the reciprocal tariffs, it's agriculture. I saw on social media recently, the Chinese leader came and says, hey, South Africa, if America intends, if they don't want to sell you the citrus, you know, tina sikhona, you know. But I'm just saying that, but I'm just saying that now, these are solutions that South Africans, can we sell these citrus, the agriculture to other markets, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure it should be possible. So I'm just saying, but I haven't seen people in South Africa. We're so focused on this VAT hike, and we're not even talking about Lenda Baga Trump. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, the defense is that we send him Mkhwebisi, so maybe we'll solve it, you know.
Yeah, but there's Mkhwebisi. You know, Mkhwebisi is from Uitenhage, not far from my family home, yes, you know. So, but I'm just saying that I haven't even seen Mkhwebisi. Has Mkhwebisi had meetings with these people? No. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't think so, you know. So there's no urgency in addressing these issues in the world economy and with Trump. And then, so instead we're just floating lame ideas of having an Afrikaans
ambassador. So before we get to solutions and conclude.
Yeah.
That's two questions. Who are the winners in this drama, and who are the losers?
You know, I was talking to the head of NSFAS recently, and just to understand this, you know, this annual circus, you know, this annual circus where Ingane go to strike and whatever. Was it at UCT? And he was saying there's people who profit from the chaos in any situation. But yes, I'm not sure who are the people who profit from this chaos. You know, does white monopoly capital benefit from this chaos? You know, I don't know, Werner Rams. You know, I don't know. It's way beyond me, you know, because I was talking to a friend of mine. I was saying, you know, the ANC now and the DA, the DA is like the wife. And then the ANC has, you know, left the marital home and is now with the three mistresses, you know, to try and get this budget over the line. The three mistresses, which is Bossa, Rise Mzansi, and what's the other one? I forget what the other party. Action SA, yeah.
Action SA.
So now, then I say, but where does white monopoly capital fit in this? And then this friend of mine, she was saying, yeah, you know, but you know, so in the DA, the white monopoly capital is saying, no, Tina, we are benefiting from this. We don't care whether you're happy from this, we're not in this marriage or not, you know. So, but I'm just saying that I can't see how it benefits big business, doesn't benefit anybody in South Africa, this chaos. And at some point, it must stop. We must have a solution to this, you know. So since this morning, I've been thinking of solutions. Obviously,
give me the solutions. Not... 2 minutes. Give me the solutions.
No, obviously, since this morning, I was driving with my son and I was saying, but not, thinking to myself, no, this madness must stop. Fun Leguins or something, you know. Yeah. So the solution, so the DA wants a spending review. And you know what we do? We form commissions just to make something disappear, you know. We specialize in that. So
but maybe we do that Kubula commission to come up.
Yeah, but I'm saying politicians announce. So you have to give a little bit to everybody. So I'm just saying, start with the wife. What does the wife want? The DA to bring them back. No, So you say they want a spending review. So you say, okay, we'll have something with this judge. We'll have something to review spending. And it can continue. You know these things, they continue for 2 years.
Yeah.
So maybe the DA will keep quiet for 2 years while we wait for this thing, you know. And then there's the EFF and the MK. What are you going to give them? Do you see what I'm saying? So you can say that. So you have to bring everybody in the room. And I saw Fikile saying we are post-austerity. There can be no more austerity. I don't think he understood what he was talking about. So there is some. So, but we have to be able to, you know, talk to the people at the UIF, talk to the people at the Reserve Bank, quickly get everybody in the room and say, Magwenzo Njani. So I'm not sure what the solution will look like, but the solution is that we have to grow this economy and create jobs. Now, to grow the economy, the government must put more money into the economy. Where will the money come from? The money will come from these reserves. The money will come. If you don't want to spend the reserves, then they must borrow within the family, from the PIC, from the Reserve Bank, borrow money from the Reserve Bank from within the firm on favorable terms. If that doesn't work, we must go and say, Old Mutual Sanlam, Sizobolekani, but on favorable terms. Do you see what I'm saying? There are solutions. We must pump more money into this economy and get it growing again because our country is falling apart. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, so, and then there's a BRICS Bank. There's so many things. I don't know when I rams, but it doesn't sound insurmountable, but I'll apply my mind to the solutions because I woke up this morning thinking of a solution that, you know, that can, you know, I talk to people, EFF, MK, ANC, Bakulma, even the ANC, a friend of mine was saying, do they still talk to you? I say, yeah, they talk to me because I don't know why they talk to me, but but I'm just saying. I talk to everybody, you know. Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't talk to you would be stupid. So, you know, on the 19th, around the 19th of Feb, Nandos asked a very pertinent question, like, what Hana? I think now we know for a fact. We have reached a point now where Fatum Trech, you know, this vet must just go back and do other things differently, right, Duma? I think that's where we are.
Thank you. Yeah.
My brother, always wonderful chatting to you.